This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. Why do we criticize Catholic doctrine? The Roman Catholic process of salvation remains as our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host, Greg Durrell, here's T.A. McMahon.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for God's specific communication to mankind, for what God says about himself, for what he says about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us, that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio associate for today's program is Greg Durrell. Greg is pastor of Heritage Bible Church of Gretna, Louisiana, a co-founder of Reaching Catholics for Christ, and host of the daily radio program, As It Is Written. Greg, before we get to our main topic for today's program, and we may not, I want to get your perspective regarding a call we received from a Roman Catholic priest. Actually, he left a message on our answering machine and left no number so that we could return his call, which is too bad because I would have liked to have talked to him. But anyway, he seemed like a very nice guy, and he had some concerns about what we were saying on a broadcast about Catholicism. Now, he had some particulars, but his main thrust was that we're, quote, setting Christian against Christian, end of quote, and he ended up, in his words, quote, pleading with us to speak more kindly of other faiths. Now, I don't know this man, but I really appreciate his sincerity, but that begs the question, aren't we equally sincere and concerned as we do this program, Greg?
Well, I would say certainly we are, and it brings to mind a similar circumstance Lord Jesus had when a very, very religious fellow, a group of religious people, obviously, posed a couple of questions to him. And his response in the 23rd chapter of Matthew was, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" And I don't say that to be mean in any way to this fellow, but my point is that if he has a different gospel, if he has a different message, if the Jesus that he knows and worships is not the same one that I know and worship, then it's not about pitting Christian against Christian. It's about revealing deficiencies in religious ideologies and religious opinions that can cost people their eternity. And so I don't think it's a question of pitting anyone against anyone. You know, Matthew 10, Christ said, "I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but a sword." And so sometimes the gospel message is going to cause some division because people refuse to follow the scripture and believe the words of Christ himself.
Mm-hmm. Now, Greg, somebody say, well, that's kind of your opinion, but what's really the issue here? What are we talking about with regard? Here's a priest. He's been with a church that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and here we're taking exception to some of the things that this church teaches, but not on the basis of your authority, Greg, or mine.
Well, you know, back to what the Lord Jesus said, he was taking exception to what the Pharisees had been teaching for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And they claimed to be following the truth and the revelation of Yahweh, that they were the holders and preservers of the Word of God, that the oracles of God were committed to them. And Jesus basically says and tells them, he says, in other words, you're subverting the Word of God. You have twisted the Word of God. And as a result, you need to be dealt with, or at least you need to be confronted with that. And so I think what we're trying to do is demonstrate to people that there is a clear difference between Roman Catholic theology and biblical Christianity. As a matter of fact, you identified this fellow as a Roman Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. You didn't say a Christian priest, but a Roman Catholic priest. And Roman Catholics always identify themselves not as Christians, but as Roman Catholics. Now, they'll say, well, that's synonymous. And my question or response then is, prove it. Take the scripture, and can we go through the scripture and demonstrate that Roman Catholicism is, in fact, the same thing as biblical Christianity? And obviously the conclusion is, if you're intellectually honest, that it is not. There are two different things that lead to two very different conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Greg, one of our problems here is that most people who are neither familiar with the scriptures or with the theology of Roman Catholicism, they don't quite know where to side with this particular issue. It does look like Christians fighting among Christians.
Well, you know, for some people, if they entered a conversation on astrophysics, they wouldn't be sure on which side to get on because they don't have a clue about the subject. And the problem is, number one, that about 3% of all professing Christians have ever read the scripture through from cover to cover. But I would encourage all the listeners so much more then to pick their Bibles up, maybe go to the book of Matthew, read the books of the New Testament from Matthew to the book of Revelation, and write down in a notebook everywhere in that New Testament they see all the trappings of Roman Catholicism. Everywhere a Mass is celebrated in the New Testament, write it down. Notate the chapter and verse. Everywhere we talk about nuns and monasteries and confessions and confessionals and feast days of Immaculate Conception and all these things, write all of that down, and at the end, whatever you've compiled from the Scripture, hold on to. Whatever you have not received from the Scripture, then dismiss, because it's certainly not necessary. And moreover, it may be very dangerous to your eternal destiny.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're in a sort of a time in which people want everybody to get along. They want all faiths to be somehow reconciled, and because we're talking about God here and we're talking about something that on the surface seems very good. But, Greg, as you pointed out, this wasn't the approach that Jesus took. And, you know, again, the priest said, Christians against Christians. If we're truly Christians, well, what do we do? Just as you've indicated, we're to follow Christ.
Absolutely.
What you said, if he said it, do it. But if you can't find not only specifics with regard to what you're practicing as a faith and you call yourself a Christian, you've got to get rid of it.
Well, you're right, and I think that's the dilemma for so many people today. They grew up in a particular religious denomination or persuasion. Grandmother did it, and my mother did it, and my uncle, and whoever. And so they just assume something. They make a pretense and based upon an assumption, and it's very dangerous because they refuse to look at the Word of God and see what the Scripture has to say. I mean, certainly, for example, if Peter was the first pope, and the papacy began in Rome in Peter's reign, and then subsequently in this procession of apostolic succession that came down through the annals of history, you could open the Scripture and read Peter's testimony to those things. And if you open the Scripture and you find that not only can't you find those things, but you find something that is completely the opposite of that, then you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to say, am I going to follow traditions that are not based upon the authority of God's Word, or am I going to trust in God's Word alone? The Scripture says plainly that salvation comes by faith in Christ plus nothing, not of yourselves, not of works. Roman Catholicism says that's heresy, that you're anathema if you believe that, that your salvation is progressive and it's a byproduct of your faith and your works.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two different Gospels. Somebody has to make a choice, and hopefully people would come down on the side of the Word of God and not on the side of traditions of men.
Mm-hmm. Greg, there's another aspect of this priest calling in. He gets on our case, implying that we're bashing Catholics, that we're anti-Catholic, that we hate Catholics. Greg, you grew up Roman Catholic.
Absolutely.
So did I.
Absolutely.
Why are we doing this? Now, wait a minute. Before you answer that, you've been doing your program as it is written. For how long?
13 years.
13 years. All right. Now, what's in it for you? You got big bucks now. I visited your studio. All right. Now, let me describe for our listeners your studio, and you correct me. It's about 4 feet by 6 feet. It's a broom closet.
That's what it is.
Why do you crawl into that broom closet week after week, Greg?
Well, because,
why do you do that?
Because we love Catholic people. And,
absolutely.
And I will never forget where I was once upon a time when I met the Lord. And if not for access to the Scripture, encouragement by Christians, I would have probably and would probably still be in my lost religious state, assuming that I'm going to go off into some place like heaven. And if not, my children and grandchildren can pray me from purgatory to heaven or some such nonsense. And I would have been lost. Mm-hmm. I would have been lost. So we do this without any financial remuneration. We, you know, nobody gets a salary. We do it out of a broom closet. We give everything away. We don't sell anything on the radio. Why? Because we want people to know the gospel. We want people to go to heaven for, mm-hmm. for eternity with the Savior. And that's the motivation. That's what it's about. Now, for the lost person, they can't grasp that because they say, well, he's obviously in it for something. But anyone who knows anything knows that is certainly not the yeah. case. It's the love of Christ and the truth of being redeemed once for all, free by the Savior that motivates us to do yeah. what we do.
Now, Greg, I don't have any doubt that there are some former, very disgruntled Catholics who are coming back with a, you know, with an axe to grind. Certainly that's not Christian, but more than that, I was never a disgruntled Catholic. You know, another guy who we do this radio program with, Jim McCarthy, he loved his experience growing
Absolutely,
up Roman
yeah.
Catholic. And we think back of many fond memories that we've had with priests and nuns and so on. So our heart here is to reach them,
sure.
to speak to their hearts with not just with your idea or my idea, but Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them.
Right.
We want to help them find that light that's available to everyone through God's word.
Absolutely. We just want people to recognize and understand that we're not bashing anyone. We don't name call. We don't look for some sort of sensational things to bring out. We deal with the Scripture. And, you know, we could very easily respond to this priest and say, well, you know, you're a Bible basher. You're always bashing the Bible. We just want to have a discussion about the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Now, if it's authoritative, then we have a basis for discussion. But if it's not authoritative, if tradition then, in fact, is the authority, then we're on two different pages altogether. We would hope people would open their eyes, go to the Scripture and see what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to one and all, the simplicity of salvation, mm-hmm. faith alone in Christ alone. That's our heart's desire.
Yeah. We also want to appeal to logic here. The priest is concerned that we ought to speak kindly of other faiths. Well, there are faiths out there that are contradictory to one another. They both can't be right. And you can't look to six or seven different faiths that are teaching things in contradiction to one another and then just hope they all kind of work out in the mix.
Well, you know,
it's not logical.
Yeah, speaking kindly and promoting may not be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we speak unkindly, but we certainly don't promote and bring out the errors that are contained in these things. And I think that is biblical, and I think that's the proper thing to do. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did.
Well, again, the Lord said in the Scriptures, the Lord says, come, let us reason together. We believe in a reasoned faith. There are people
right.
out there who their faith, in fact, is nothing more than wishful thinking.
Right.
But that's not going to get anybody down the line.
Sure.
You may get a good feeling out of it, but when push comes to shove, your faith is really meaningless.
Absolutely. Or as Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that's really what it is.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Greg, we have this from one of our listeners. I've heard Protestants challenge Catholics by asking them, how many good works does one have to do in order to get to heaven? My question as a Catholic to you is, how much saving faith does one have in order to be saved?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because we go to the Gospel of John, interestingly mm-hmm. enough, and we find the word faith does not even appear. And what I demonstrate to people all the time is that faith and believe is the same word in Greek. Faith, obviously, is the noun. Belief is the verb. And everybody is given a measure of faith, the Scripture says, but faith must have an object. So it doesn't take a volume of faith to bring about eternal life for anyone, but it takes the correct object of one's faith, and that's why Paul says to believe in Christ and thou shalt be saved. what must you do to have everlasting life? You must make the Lord Jesus Christ the object of your faith. And obviously to the Roman Catholic, the object of their faith is their religious efforts, their religious systems, because that's what they're taught from a child. And so again, we find there's a completely different gospel that we're talking about, that we're dealing with. Ours is a biblical gospel of salvation. Make Christ alone the object of your faith, and the Father gives you everlasting life. Roman Catholicism, make the religious liturgies and efforts the object of your faith, and maybe one day, if you're fortunate, you might make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. Two different gospels, two different pathways.
Yeah, and for all the objections by Catholic apologists that it's not by works, talk to any Catholic coming out of, well, anywhere you find them. Ask them,
absolutely. Yeah.
On what basis are they going to get to heaven? Well, it always comes back to, well, I think my good points are going to kind of outweigh my bad points, and the Lord's going to look on that, and I'll get through. I'll make it.
When you remember in Jim McCarthy's video, Catholicism, Crisis of Faith, remember they did that exit poll coming out of their Catholic cathedral, and that was the standard answer was, I think I am, I hope I am, keeping the good, the Ten Commandments. So it was always about doing something and then only hoping. No one could ever know that they had eternal life, despite what John writes in 1 John 5:13.
Right. And again, going back to faith, to putting one's trust in Christ, it comes down to who he is, what he did. And now if somebody explains that to me, and I say, yes, that's what I want to put my faith in. I'm trusting in that. Well, that's it. And somebody said, well, no, it's kind of too easy, Greg. It's just sort of like acknowledging something, but it doesn't seem to have the substance that you need. But I come back to what Christ did. You're only going to get to heaven if you can pay the full penalty for your sins, which is separation from God forever. Now, the only thing that we can do is pay those consequences. We can't do what Christ did, so he's our only hope.
Right.
Greg, I love the scripture that gives Peter's response to the Lord after he talked about something that was very difficult for some of his disciples to believe, and many left. And he said, are you too going away? And Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go then? You have the words of eternal life. So it's in him alone.
Exactly. That's our prayer. That's what we would like people to recognize and see. Turn to the scripture and see the simplicity of Christ and be saved forever.
Amen. This listener writes, I'm a former Roman Catholic, and I recently had a discussion with a very informed Catholic who told me that his Catholic assurance of getting to heaven was based in part on the fact that it's nearly impossible to commit a mortal sin. Now, that's not the way I remember it. Do you know what he was talking about?
I don't think he has a clue as to what he was talking about, because you and I have discussed it on prior broadcasts that failing to observe a holy day of obligation is a mortal sin.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says it's nearly impossible to commit a mortal sin, I would venture to say that he has not kept all of the holy days of obligation, let alone can he name them.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, he has committed mortal sins and probably dozens of them through his life, and certainly he would be destined for an eternity in hell. We find, again, it is ignorance of Roman Catholicism on the part of most Catholics. I have in my office about 56 running feet of Catholic books and Catholic catechisms, et cetera, historic stuff. And throughout that, if you read it, you will find that the statements that so many of these cafeteria Catholics that they make, well, we don't believe this and we don't think that, have absolutely no basis in Catholic theology. Mm-hmm. If they really knew what Roman Catholicism taught, they'd be horrified. They simply have no clue.
Right. Well, Greg, let me take just another perspective. I agree with what you said, but there is another aspect to Catholicism that people aren't aware of. In my office, I've got a book called The Code of Canon Law, and we're talking about 1,750 or more rules and regulations. Now, when you've got rules and regulations, you've got laws and all those kinds of things, it's good to be a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people approach Catholicism from a law standpoint, and when you've got a law and you've got the lawyers, you try to get around everything that you can. Now, I want to quote you from the Catholic Catechism with regard to mortal sin. It says, "The sin must be serious. The evil act must be a grave offense against God or someone else. The sinner must be aware the one performing the act must have full knowledge that what he is doing is grievously wrong." And see, right away, we can maybe make some loopholes here. Well, I'll keep going. "The sin must be deliberate. The sinner must know that he can resist the temptation, yet willfully choose to do evil." Now, again, most Catholics, I know when I was a Roman Catholic, you know, you try and get around some things. Well, it wasn't quite as bad as the thought, should I confess this or should I not? Well, you know, you sort of become your own attorney. But let me give you an example of maybe where this Roman Catholic is coming from. This is from a catechism for parents and teachers. "For example, a habit of masturbation may be temporarily beyond a young person's sincere efforts to overcome. In an unguarded moment, a couple planning marriage may succumb to their passion for each other. A person may have a fixation for homosexual acts which seemingly cannot be controlled. To automatically label all such persons as guilty of mortal sin is unwarranted." You see where this guy's head is?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obvious, but again, obviously, the Bible has no authority in the issue at all.
Right.
And then ultimately, they teach that everyone must expiate their own sins in purgatory regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, either way, no matter what you want to believe as a Roman Catholic, you're going to head to purgatory anyway, unless you are struck by lightning after you come out of the confessional and receive the sacrament of communion. Aside from that, you're going to purgatory. And so we find all of these little things that come up. Well, I didn't really mean it, and if I don't really mean it, then it's not applicable here, and as a result, we live in a community here down in New Orleans that has more churches per capita than any city in America. We also have more barrooms per capita than any city in America. And for a couple, 3-4 years in a row, we were the murder capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that say? Well, it says we have more Roman Catholic churches than anybody else in the world per capita. How did it impact the lives of the people who live here? Negatively. Why? Because of those loopholes you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it okay to sin in this case? Well, I didn't really know. I didn't really mean it. But the Bible, we know, is not ambiguous like that. It's very clear. And I think if people would understand that, embrace the truth of Scripture, then you'd see not only quality to their lives, but certainly everlasting life. And these kind of questions wouldn't even arise.
See, Greg, it seems to me that what I've read, what we've been talking about here, has to do with a man-made religion. This isn't the way God works. It's very simple. It says, the soul that sinneth shall die. Sin leads to death. It leads
right.
to destruction. It leads to separation from God forever. And the only solution is faith in Christ, trust in Him. And then what do? Once we know Christ, our lives are transformed by Him. We don't have a penchant for these things. We don't become a Philadelphia lawyer to try and get around things. We trust in Him and do things that please Him.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay tuned. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0251. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.